This is Cyber Defense Radio with your host and cybersecurity champion, Annabelle Thomas. Annabelle brings to you another globally recognized cybersecurity executive in the hot seat today.
I'm your host, Annabelle Thomas, and today we're diving into one of the most urgent challenges in cybersecurity, data recovery after a cyber attack. Joining me is Eric Herzog, the Chief Marketing Officer at Infidat, a company that's redefining what cyber storage resilient looks like. Infidat's next-generation data protection solutions enables organizations to recover from ransomware or malware attacks in under a minute. That's game-changing speeds when every second counts. According to industry studies, over 70% of organizations hit by ransomware never fully recover all of their data. And the average downtime after an attack we see is more than 20 days. Infidat is turning that statistic on its head, and we're going to dive more into that later on. Eric, welcome to the hot seat.
Great, Annabelle. Thank you very much. And I love being in the hot seat. So I really appreciate it. And thank you for Cyber Defense TV. As you know, a lot of our customers that we talked earlier are mostly global Fortune 500. So cyber is top of mind. Yes, they want great storage. We have a lot of great storage attributes, performance, 100% availability. But what has been very interesting, and I've actually done 17 meetings with CISOs in the last 2 weeks, has been how storage is often not incorporated into a comprehensive data center-wide cybersecurity strategy, which you guys could probably want to study. Why would they leave it out when most corporate valuable data is sitting on that storage? And they usually don't do anything cyber around it. It's weird to me, but you guys would know even better than that. So that's something we're trying to change that equation.
Right. And I want to dive into that piece because that's what us at Cyber Defense Magazine, we love that Infidat is doing differently. Can you talk a little bit more about that? Like when people typically think of cybersecurity, right? They picture firewalls, endpoint protection, but oftentimes that storage and data protection piece is overlooked. Can you talk more about how critical that is to the overall cybersecurity strategy?
Sure. So what we do is we embed in our storage systems, right? Physical systems that we sell to our customers. We embed a technology called InfiniSafe. InfiniSafe focus is on cyber storage resilience and cyber storage recovery. So for example, we create immutable snapshots. So why would you need that? Well, A, when it's immutable, then you can't have any of the admins play with it or change the data in any way, shape or form, right? Or nothing outside. Once it's immutable, you can't change it, right? So as you know, malware and ransomware, part of what they do is change data, right? Or in the case of the storage side, encrypt it so that you can't access until you pay them a ransom. So when you make an immutable snapshot, you can't touch it once it's, if you will, frozen in time, okay? We also create what's known as a logical air gap. And we can do that locally at the data center or remotely to the remote data center. And the idea of the air gap is to separate the management plane from the data plane. So once you've started configuring things, when you separate that and create that gap, management can't start playing with the storage anymore, right? So again, you're creating that kind of separation of church and state so that, you know, everything stays copacetic. We can create a fenced forensic environment. If you have an attack, remember, you have to get to a known good copy. And by the way, you can back up malware or ransomware. You could make snapshots of malware or ransomware, right? Because ransomware and malware is, you know, it's the ultimate Jason Bourne spy, right? You don't pound on your chest and like King Kong and say, I'm coming to steal or destroy your data. It's all done surreptitiously, as you know. So we could still make a snapshot of bad data. Now we do have a way, by the way, to scan snapshots for that, which we'll talk about in a second. So you create a fenced forensic environment to do testing before you do a recovery. We guarantee the recovery time. You talked about that before on our primary storage systems, what we call the Infinibox all flash array. We would guarantee RTO no matter how big the data set is in 1 minute or less. And we guarantee that in writing. Again, the bulk of our customers are global Fortune 500. So they expect us, okay, put your money where your mouth is. So we back that up. So when we do a webinar or seminar, we actually only demo live, which is the way it used to be done in the old days. So now everyone pre-records it and plays it off a laptop, right? We don't do that. So you can go see it now, but at the time when we were doing the webinar or the time we're sitting at RSA, if you came by the booth to get a demo, you would see the demo live. Same thing we did the Gartner Cybersecurity Conference. Same thing, you saw it live. So we recovered in that webinar 4 petabytes in 4 seconds. 4 petabytes in 4 seconds. It could have been 2 petabytes, it could have been 12. But we'll do that in under a minute, okay? The fifth thing we do is integrate with cybersecurity data center wide. So as you know, many of your readers have a SOC, right? Security Operations Center. If they don't, they're probably running SIEM or SOAR data center wide cybersecurity software. So if Microsoft Sentinel or Splunk senses a cyber attack, through an API, it can send a note to the storage and the storage will start taking action immediately. Not waiting for someone to text or call, or it literally the software will communicate with our software and we will start taking action, which you preset up ahead of time. You say, here's what I want to happen if there's a cyber attack. And so when Sentinel sees something, or if your SOC sees something, it'll send something through the API and our software will start doing things to the storage to try to help resiliency immediately. And that's done all automatically. It's all based on Sentinel or Splunk or the SOC or any of those types of Fortinet seeing something and then basically automatically telling us and we start doing things. And then the last thing we do using AI and ML technology, we can scan the storage for malware or ransomware. So there's really two use cases for that. First of all, you get our InfiniSafe cyber detection, and what you do is you scan the storage regular basis, once a week, once a day, you pick. Maybe one array is once a week, another array is once a day. And it uses AL and MI technology to constantly learn about the data patterns of how what's going on in the data. So it could see surreptitious encryption, as an example, which is could be a sign, obviously, of a ransomware attack. Okay. And then there's a whole, whole process where it reports back to the storage guy. It can use an API to send something over to a SIEM or SOAR app or the SOC saying, hey, the storage on this array seems to be seeing a malware or ransomware attack. And it could go the other way to the storage side of the equation. So that's one is, if you will, the storage version of Splunk, right? Splunk and Sentinel are early warning systems for a data center wide cyber attack, right? In this case, you could use the storage that same way, okay? The second use case is you've had an attack and now you have to get a known good copy. So as I mentioned before, we create a fenced environment. You put candidates in there and then you scan it with cyber defense. And if you took a snapshot 2 hours ago and then you scan it and it says there's malware and ransomware, you get rid of it and you bring the snapshot from 6 hours ago, scan that. So that way you get the most recent data possible. And you can scan it. Now you can also check it in other ways, right? You could have the SAP, Oracle, all the app owners come in and they then look at that and see, oh no, we look like we're clean. But it's a way to automate that process and make it faster. So that's what we do. It's very comprehensive. It is storage centric and it's software. There's no, I mean, you have to buy our storage system, but there's no extra hardware to do this or that. You don't buy an appliance that does all this stuff. It just comes with the storage and you can choose to use it or not. I mean, it's the first 5 elements are free. The only one we charge for is the cyber detection and we only charge for what you scan. So if you have one or big arrays, one of them can be 33 petabytes. If you're scanning a petabyte, we charge you for a petabyte. If you're scanning half a petabyte, we charge you, even though the system itself is giant. But that's the only thing we charge for. Everything else is free. So close to 90% of our customers use some element of InfiniSafe. And we do know of a couple that have actually used the recovery to do a recovery, right? When they send something. So it does the, and again, when I talked, like I said, I just did all those CISO meetings the last couple of weeks, most of them didn't think about storage. And then when, we've got like 6 people now on follow-up meetings because they go, whoa, that's a good idea. Maybe I'll invite the storage guys and my guys and you pitch it to both of us. And then you can understand why it's important to be involved in a cybersecurity strategy. It's 90% of the valuable corporate data sitting on that storage anyway. So why would you only rely on edge, right? Things like that. The firewall, which we know usually gets breached. And I think you guys, didn't you have some statistics that something like there's like the average enterprise is like 1600 cyber attacks a week or something. I think that was Yes. You guys that published that. So that's a lot. So they're eventually going to get through. And One of the things, obviously, for your readers and viewers that are public is, of course, there's cyber regulations everywhere. The United States, Japan, the UK, the EU, the DORA, there's a bunch of different regulations, SEC in the US, and we've actually created a little deck that we've shown people, which sort of documents just here's all the regulations for you public companies that you need to comply with. So, you know, if you leave the storage uncovered, you're leaving a gap. And there are some of those regulations do specifically talk about you should be doing something with storage. And several of these cybersecurity analysts I noticed recently, I saw one at the Gartner show and actually one at RSA, where the bulk of it was about regular cyber, like you were mentioning earlier, Annabelle. But they said, by the way, you might want to make sure your storage is secure as well. So that's kind of a new tone I've heard from the cybersecurity analyst community, which 2 years ago wasn't really talking about it. So.
Right. And we see why storage is such a huge component. I feel like a lot of organizations kind of leave that on like an afterthought, like a back burner sort of thing, and don't bring that into the focus and have that on the priority list at all. Because like you mentioned before, recovery should be that focal point, not just preventing something from happening, not just hoping something won't happen. I know you covered a lot just right there and just trying to unpack that all for our audience. One of the things that I think sets Infinite Debt apart so much is how fast you guys can recover. Mm-hmm. You talk right after under a minute. Can you dive more into that?
Sure.
And kind of explain how, because I know a lot of our audience is going to be like, yeah, right. Like we hear all the time organizations promising a lot of different things, but oftentimes we find that not to be true. Can you talk a lot about how you're able to get that recovery response time under a minute?
Sure. So first of all, one thing we do is we put our money where our mouth is. We guarantee it in writing, which most people won't do, and we do. So if it's not happening, we got to pay you. That's item one. Second thing is we can demo it anytime. We can show it anytime anyone wants to see, and we can actually show it off of systems that we don't own. We have a few of our customers, because we hide the identity, it just has a number. So they don't know who that customer is. We do, but it's all blocked. So we actually have done demos off real live production systems that some of our customers say, hey, that's okay, as long as they don't know who it is, right? They want to keep that private. So we have a unique architecture on the snapshots that allow us, it's all about how we manage the metadata. We do everything in track. We have a tracking system to make sure that the writes on the server side, so the Oracle write, that it's completed, okay? Our snapshots are so light touch, there's no performance penalty. Many snapshots, whether it be from a storage vendor or other snaps that some of the app owners also can do, have a performance hit while the snapshot is happening. We do not. So when you're first taking the snapshot, there's no performance penalty because the way we manage the metadata, the way we lay the data out, and the way we're tracking the timestamping of the writes through the system on the server side. So you make sure that we're capturing we're not gonna drop a bit so that the data actually is corrupted, right? If you don't get the whole string, right? So we track that on the server side so that we're always complete and what's known as crash consistent, right? The data set is always consistent. That's critical. And then because we're so light touch like that, we're managing those metadata points, and basically it's a pointer to the actual data itself, which allows us to recover so quickly. So all that, and then obviously the main thing is we'll guarantee it in writing.
Right.
So we put our money where we're not, but between making sure that it's consistent on the server side, the app is truly written down to the storage. Otherwise, if you miss that, then the data isn't valid, obviously. So we make sure we're doing that with the timestamping of the application layer on all the writes, so we can make sure, okay, great, it's consistent, it's done, boom. Do it. And then because the way we manage the metadata and the pointers, it can be incredibly fast. But also remember, a lot of snapshots, you know, people don't like it in the, you know, again, we're mostly global Fortune 500. So when they're doing their Oracle or their SAP or their Mongo Cassandra or their high performance file systems, when they know they need the snapshot, but they don't want it to impede performance either, right? If you're in the finance sector, high velocity databases, let's see if that's trading. Of course, they're snapping. They have to. Not only for a cyber site, but as you know, immutable snapshots are legal court evidence. So if there's ever a lawsuit, you pull up that immutable snapshot, right? And you can then use that in a court of law, right? You don't come in with reams of paper like the old days. So having a snapshot that does not impede performance is important. And then obviously that immutable snapshot has a legal angle. We've of course extended from the whole compliance side into, well, wait a second, here's how you'd use it for cybersecurity. So you've extended something that we were already delivering so that people could meet legal and compliance needs, because most of our customers are global Fortune 500, but also then it said, well, wait a second, from a cyber perspective, you don't want anyone to touch that either, right? Because if the malware ransomware's in, you have a snapshot that's read write, it can now go into the snapshot and corrupt that. So if you make it immutable, the malware ransomware cannot attack. Now, by the way, if it's already in there, when you take the snapshot, you can snapshot malware or ransomware, which is why you need to do the testing before you do recovery. You always test. You want to test and validate.
Right. And I know earlier you did kind of describe Infinite, that's CyberStack, as you will, like a combination, right, of the immutable snapshots. You talked about the air gapping, that fence forensic environments, and then, of course, the near instant recovery. Can you go a little bit more into how, and unpack those components, but how do they all work together?
Ah, great. So basically we have a reference architecture document. It's very easy to use. The one thing we do is we provide a technical advisor to all of our accounts. And the technical advisor's job is not tech support. The technical advisor's job is application, workload, and use case optimization. So if a customer would like to use InfiniSafe, then our technical advisor, what we call a TA, gets involved with a customer and we do that work for free. We don't charge. So TAs are no charge. But their job is not, we have a separate tech support team and they do tech support. But these guys, their job is to do things like help deploy InfiniSafe or optimize the speed on their Oracle workload. So that's what they do. So they take all those elements, right? Work through the reference architecture with the account, configure it for them to get them going. Because again, if they buy more storage, you got to do it again, right? So basically we're teaching them how to fish. TAs meet with our customers at least once a week, every week. And several of our biggest Fortune 500 customers, we meet with them every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or Tuesday, Thursday. We meet 2 to 3 times a week. So if they said, oh, we're buying 3 new arrays, they say, great, do you want InfiniSafe? Yes, I do. Okay, great. Let's set up a time. It's being delivered on this date. Okay, then let's get it configured. Right. And then let's put all the InfiniSafe technology on there. So our TAs help them do it. Now, obviously, some are very sophisticated customers. Once we teach them the first time, they say, OK, we're going to do it ourselves. But are the TAs are there to help them? And they've got this reference architecture, like 100 page long. It's pretty simple because it's divided into immutable snaps, fence forensic. Right. So there's like chapters. So when you're on each chapter, it's, you know, 10 or and it's kind of do this, do that. It's like doing a recipe. It's like cooking my favorite cake, my favorite German chocolate cake, right? So you got to follow the recipe, right? That's a hard cake to do.
Right. And so, I think that's also key, kind of what you mentioned, where you have the TAs constantly checking in with them. As we know, ransomware has become that $30 billion a year criminal industry. And attackers, we've noticed, are targeting those backup systems, those storage infrastructure directly. How does Infinidat stay ahead of these evolving threats to ensure that the technology and the security and the systems we have in place remains resilient even against the latest attack threats?
So from the snapshot, the air gapping, the recovery times and stuff, those are all tied to the storage system itself. So any AI-based malware ransomware can't really impact that, okay? What can happen is on the cyber detection side. Right, you're scanning to look for malware or ransomware. So what we do is it's a workflow and we're constantly indexing like the files themselves or the database themselves, not just the metadata, but literally the whole thing. There then is just the way the virus guys have, you know, here's all the known viruses. There is with the partner we work with, Index Engines, they've got a known malware and ransomware library that they keep, which they update every quarter. So if there's the Annabelle malware, we know. So then what happens is they know it's Annabelle malware. And now what happens is they're noticing through AI and ML technology, because it's monitoring constant changes across the data, all the data, it's monitoring that. So what it does is when you run the cyber detection software, it learns. So if now it's not Annabelle malware, but it's Eric's ransomware, And somehow it seems very similar to Annabelle's malware. It learns and understands and sees. Now, when it's brand new, right, it can also track that because it's going to start seeing surreptitious. Remember, when they're encrypting, if I'm ransomware and I want to hold Cyber Defense TV for ransom, it's all done surreptitiously, right? It's all secret. So what'll happen is the AI and the ML technology is learning and can see, oh, wait, look at all that encryption happening. But it's all very slow, right? You're not encrypting the whole thing. Then it's obvious that you're trying to steal stuff. So you do it all surreptitiously, and it can see because it's indexing everything. The little change yesterday. Ooh, another little change today. Ooh, another little change tomorrow. Ooh, and then it will come back and say, hey, there's a 99% probability that you have malware or ransomware. And it will report that up to, you know, the user interface. It'll send texts. It'll send notes. And through API, it can actually talk to your security operations center or your SIEM software. So we can, so when in cyber detection senses it sees something, either you keep it to the storage guys, or you could literally set up an API where it will send a note to Microsoft Sentinel and say, hey, the storage is seeing something funking, Microsoft Sentinel. Now, Sentinel doesn't scan storage, but it is, you know, data center wide. So we can actually feed a possible attack from the storage side over to the cybersecurity side. So we're very careful, but the way we stay ahead is this, A, this library, which is constantly growing, obviously, and then the AI and the ML technology is constantly looking at the data itself and then also comparing the data to any known malware or ransomware. So that way you stay ahead of it. Remember, cyber criminals are not like in the movie with the machine guns. Cyber criminals are sitting there, yeah, with 12,000 college degrees or guys who've been hacking code since they were 4 years old, and they're geniuses. They don't need a machine gun. They don't need like one of those gangster movies. That's not what they do, right? They're hacking and they're incredibly good at it. And remember, AI can be used for good, which is what we do, but it can be used for bad. And there's been articles, you guys wrote an article, I've seen it in some of the other pubs about how you know, the malware and ransomware is being infused with AI because the cyber criminals are computer science guys, basically. They're just bad ones. I should say evil. They're not bad, meaning they're not good at it. They're unfortunately very good at it, but they're evil, right? They're Dr. Evil from the old movie, right? That's what they are. And, but they use the technology for those evil purposes. And so you've got to use AI for the good, which is what we do with cyber detection. With the other elements of InfiniSafe, they're immune because they're focused on the storage side, right? So they're looking at how the storage data is laid out, right? It's looking at how we use our cache technology. And you can't do that because that's the base storage operating system. It's not the applications, right? So it's not Oracle or SQL. So that's where the attack vector is into the app layer or to the file layer, right? They don't attack the storage operating system, just like they usually don't attack. Well, there have been some attacks on the Microsoft side, but for example, Macintoshes and iPhones are very immune to attack because it's hard to get into the operating system, right? So we've made the storage operating system fenced off, if you will, and no one's been able to get into it. In fact, when we do an immutable snapshot, we can't even undo it. Some of the other guys who have immutable snapshots, there's actual back doors and they're documented. You can find it on their website how to get through the back door. So for us, the back door is locked as much as the front door. So malware and ransomware would take advantage of something like a back door to an immutable snap, right? They could go in that back door, but we don't have a back door. So again, guarding that layer, and then clearly with the cyber detection, that's to constantly look at the storage for possible malware or ransomware attack vectors.
Right. And that way you're constantly covered no matter what's coming at you, no matter what new thing comes out, what new threat is what we're seeing, right? Now, I imagine these type of capabilities that we're talking about with Infidat Solutions, that must really change how organizations think about disaster recovery planning. Can you talk about the feedback that you're hearing from customers who have adopted the solutions? What are they seeing? What are they saying?
So what we've done, particularly the TAs, for those that are heavily using InfiniSafe, and 85, 90% of our customers use at least some elements of InfiniSafe, we tell them to weave that into a disaster recovery program. Okay. I'm coming to you live from Silicon Valley. We really do have earthquakes. I was in the 89 earthquake and actually fell down a staircase. I'd probably be a lot smarter if I hadn't fallen down that staircase. And, you know, hurricane, flood, and as you guys know well, not on the cyber side, but the number one cause of data loss, other than, you know, you deleting this video or me deleting a PowerPoint, is still fire. And, you know, all those data centers have all that fire prevention, but it doesn't work. And then, of course, you have fire, flood, hurricane, tsunami, all those things, right? So we tell them that you need to treat a malware ransomware attack exactly as if you had a hurricane. So A, you need to prepare, which is what you're doing with InfiniSafe. But okay, you haven't finished. What's the policies around that? What do you do when you buy new storage? Do you let it sit there, or do you have a checklist of when you deploy the new storage? Connect it to the switch. Do this, do that, configure the volumes, right? The normal stuff. Assign who's going to be the admin. Does it then say set up InfiniSafe? Right. So see how that normal process needs to be. Right. Then what's the process when something hits? So if you think about a fire in the data center, there's an entire process documented of what to do. What happens? Where do they go to the data? Where's the data been replicated to? Who's going to do the work? Right. Who is it? The guys in the row at data center? Or do you set up, you know, an ad hoc data center, right? Rent a space or whatever, so that you can move the data to the customers inside the enterprise. So we told them that the way you would do that is exactly what you need to do. We also tell them you need to practice. Okay, most large enterprises practice a disaster at least twice a year, and some companies do it every quarter. Okay, well, if you're going to do it every quarter, either A, do a sub version, which is mimicking a malware or ransomware attack, or every other one, you do a earthquake, malware, hurricane, ransomware. So that way you're constantly practicing. So that's what we've talked to them about. And now the real issue is sometimes the guys who are responsible for data center wide resiliency are clearly not the cyber guys. The cyber guys are cyber resiliency and cyber policies, but not necessarily. The idea we tell them is, look, you got to incorporate everybody. And just the way you use our snapshots and our replication, if there's a fire, malware and ransomware is essentially a fire. It's a software fire, but it's a fire. And the data ain't available just the way it would be if you're, I mean, our arrays will burn, right? All computer equipment burns if it's a fire. So how do you get that data back? What are you doing? How do you do that? And so the way you set up how you would handle the fire in the data center or the flood in the data center, you do the same thing, create a whole process and procedure. As you buy new storage, make sure that's on the checklist and mimic a malware or ransomware attack. That's what we tell them to do, and what our TAs help them do is prepare those documents. And then also, if we're asked, we will participate in the practice with them and help them, A, create the practice documents and the process that someone used, but B, like be there to help them do the practice. Now, obviously, we're not always gonna be there depending on what happens, but the idea is, again, we're watching what they're doing and help them do it. But if they treat malware and ransomware just like they would a flood or a fire in a data center, they'll be way better off. And we think that's very important because it is a disaster.
Right. And those disasters, like you mentioned, the key part of them, you know, being able to recover so quickly, so fast, is being prepared, is having those practices, is having Infinidat solution in there, because without it truly would be a huge disaster going on there. Well, Eric, thank you so much for joining me today and sharing your insights. Before we close out, is there anything else you'd like to share with our audience?
I think the key thing is, since most of your audience is on the security side, is they need to elevate their thinking that storage is not just the data repository. Storage is a malware and ransomware attack vector, both the primary storage and the backup copies. I'm not cyber mafia, but I would be the king of cyber mafia, because I would say, go lock up every replica, find out where they're replicating, let's get those. Because remember, you can recover a replica. That's what you do if there's a fire, right? You get the replica. So if there was malware only here, so it's like, go get the replica, find every snapshot. Oh, they're using Commvault or Veeam or whoever their backup. Go make sure it's in every freaking backup repository. And they know what they're doing. These guys are, again, they're not the gangster uneducated with a machine gun in the old movies, right? These guys are highly sophisticated. So they know, and they're kind of figuring out, okay, what do people do with their data? How do they manage it in the data center? So storage is an attack plane, and it's huge. We have customers who have hundreds and hundreds of petabytes, hundreds of them. So every single storage system that data, those petabytes are sitting on, is an attack vector. So you treat it that way, create those processes, and make sure that the cyber guys realize part of the comprehensive strategy, whether to have to pull the storage guys by the teeth or whatever, is to make sure that they work together as a team, because that is a giant attack surface with all that storage out there. And again, when you look at the global Fortune 500, there's tons of them with hundreds and hundreds, and there's even some with exabytes of storage. So that's a lot of place to go attack if you're the cyber criminals.
Right. Well, you heard it here first, folks. Infinidat is at the forefront of the fights, of the attacks. They're right there with you. It's clear that Infinidat is doing more than just storing the data. They're redefining what resilient means, especially in this cyber era we're in. You can learn more by going to their website at infinidat.com. That is infinidat.com. Eric, thank you so much for joining me today.
You've been listening to Cyber Defense Radio. Stay tuned next time for another amazing and informative episode. CyberDefenseRadio.com is proudly part of the Cyber Defense Media Group, where InfoSec knowledge is power.
Cyber Defense TV and Cyber Defense Radio have launched 24/7/365 live streams. Visit them online today at Cyber Defense TV and Cyber Defense Radio with your host and cybersecurity champion and my good friend, Annabelle Thomas.